Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the warfare.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. I'm Marcus Dash. JD will be coming on here shortly, and we'll begin talking some off-season football. With this episode, with Monday, there you go. Our guy JD's on now. What's up, JD? How you doing, brother?
What's up, man? You got me in the middle of eating.
Oh, my sorry. God. I saw you flash the bottom of my screen.
That's good. I just had to give me a little.
Oh, you're good. You're good. You're totally good. It's a President's Day, you know, kind of relaxing day. So with our Monday show, usually we do grades, but as we mentioned last week, as we get, you know, as free agency approaches, the off season's here, we're going to kind of do a recap on what we have for each position group going in to free agency. And tonight we will begin with our wide receivers. But JD, you haven't been on the show since last Monday before the parade and everything because you went to Kansas City. Yeah. You were there. We had a lot of our fans had asked to make sure you were all right. Wanted to know if you're okay and everything. Kind of talk to us about the experience last week.
Let me see. Well, I mean, you're talking about it was, man. They got confirmation to come out there to the parade to enjoy the festivities with everybody. It was a wonderful time just seeing guys and, you know, kind of getting, in the mix. And I had a lot of like video and pictures to show you. I will probably put them on Twitter, you know, to show and Instagram, all those different things. Just haven't really had a chance to, you know, just processing a lot of different things. Of course, obviously with, the tragic events that have happened after the parade it has been the kind of the focal point the past few days after it happened. I don't want to take away from the good time, the great time everybody had that was there. You know, some of the good pictures, some of the warm embrace of others, you know, celebratory, you know, environment. You know, the whole feel of it, man, it was just incredible. And I loved every part of it. I loved every bit of it. Just seeing the guys come out, you know, saying their piece, talking about the things they talked about. Obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, when you could hear what he was saying. And well, here, I think Travis was kind of putting out a little bit, you know, just kind of. I know he was a little tipsy, but I think he kind of put on just a little bit more, you know, to the crowd. That's my opinion. You know, I don't think he wasn't as tore up as he made it out to be. I think it was kind of like a funny skit. You know, we know he's good at like different skits and whatnot.
It's true.
So he's got a lot of range and his talent. So it's just not on the football field, but also too probably in the acting world, which is going to be his new profession after he gets finished. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I think that was part of it. I know people were a little perturbed with some of that and how people felt about, you know, how they acted and what guys looked like. Guys are celebrating and they're enjoying themselves. But, you know, just, you know, kind of talking about just, you know, seeing guys from the organization, you know, having a conversation with them and how elated they were. And I mean, it was just magical. It really was. Everybody, I think, was engrossed in, you know, the whole full feelings of, you know, being Super Bowl champs. And they were. You know, it's crazy. I don't know how many people were there. Do you have reports how many people were actually at the parade?
I saw like at least a million, but I think there was a lot of people there. Yeah, I never saw the official final tally on that, but I know it was at least a million people there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I send you stuff, can you show it right now? Is that possible? You don't have that.
I don't know if I can do it right now. We can do it on Wednesday's show. I can post it on Wednesday's show if you give it to me.
Yeah, pictures and whatnot. We'll do it on Wednesday. But you know, seeing, you know, former players, you know, just celebrating with them, man, was a beautiful thing. The crowd was into it, signed a lot of autographs. You know, I had to let everybody know, some of the younger people, well, who are you? I'm just like, Jason Dunn. You know, a lot of people like, oh, he knows, the young people don't really know who you are. which is, you know, that's expected.
Yeah.
But where I was at, do you want to go ahead and go into like the whole situation or talk about it? I don't know I'll say is this. Okay, because I don't want to, you know, sometimes people may, this may bring back memories if somebody's watching this, how everything went down. And I don't want to do that. Okay. I know it's a very delicate situation and, you know, subject to talk about. And we want to be as you know, gracious and you know, thoughtful as possible, especially with this. But I know from, you know, how things kind of started. I thought it might have been like some like fireworks, you know, after this show, but I could tell. And I videotaped some of this. I didn't know I was videotaping. I had my camera down and you could hear some of the things, the commotion that was going on. I think when I was facing the crowd, it was back at the back end of the crowd. When I'm telling you, the sea of red, just for the people that came out, you know, hats off to them for just coming and showing support for their Chiefs. It really was, man. It was a glorious time for the entire city. And for this to happen, I mean, it just shouldn't have happened. It's just unfortunate how these things just went down. It really is. The people lost their life. People got shot. And I know how much everybody was affected by this. I mean, visibly shaken. When I was in Union Station, when I had gotten in Union Station, because some of us, you know, the ones that had came on the bus, had to get back on the bus on Union Station. And it was chaos and inside of it. And people, you know, needed, you know, support. They needed care, consoling. And thank God I was able to be there for that. You know, just to kind of help people out, you know, to console them and, you know, just kind of calm them down a little bit. You know, little boys, you know, he's the one that was kind of crying his mom at the very first. And I kind of told him, like, look, the cops are on it. They're doing a great job. And then another thing, hats off to, you know, Kansas City police officers, state troopers, everybody that was involved. They did a tremendous job just getting control of everything that was going on in sense of the chaos. I mean, they watched them work in that that situation was something to see. But they was all stars that day, without a doubt, for them handling the situation like they did, especially with the number of people that they had to also, you know, manage as well. So they did a good job of making everybody feel safe, securing everything, especially inside of Union Square. Or Union Station, and even, you know, put everything in orderly fashion, went through the building, swept through everything. Tremendous job, you know, so I don't want to downplay for what they've done. I mean, because when I'm telling you they was on it, they were on it. They were on it. And thank God for them. And we see, thank God for the ones that was able to grab the guys and stop any other type of thing, you know, carnage from happening.
Yeah.
People stepping up. And it's just, it's unfortunate, man. But there's a bigger conversation with everything that went on, just from addressing a lot of different issues. What this would do for parades and stuff going forward, I don't know. I think that's one of the questions, is how this will affect how everybody operates parades and whatnot for these type of deals. I don't think it's something that will always happen, and something that, this was something that's just unfortunate happened. And here's the thing. We could be honest that I'm sure they're at that place. There was many guns and many weapons there, the parade. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around, man, with weaponry, but people just don't quite understand. They don't. And, you know, people do it, you know, to try to protect themselves. You know, and some, it is their right. Others, is, you know, there has to be something done for, you know, better answers to these issues and problems that's going on. Okay. Obviously, we're not going to solve them tonight, but I do believe that you had to go through maybe the heart of the matter why these things are happening. You know, I'm a two-way supporter. But I think that you need to have sensible laws, sensible things that you could do that I don't think is controversial. You know, people bring a lot of different things up. Hey, look, my thing is we should always talk about becoming the best of us, better of us. And if we can do something to change people's outcome to a better situation, I think we should try it. We should do it. I don't, you know, like I said, being a supporter, I don't think taking that away is the idea, but I don't think that's what people are calling for, you know, sensible, you know, as far as,
It's called gun reform for a reason, you know, reform is reforming it, not getting rid of it.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. No, I don't think nobody would go for that. I mean, some feel like that's necessary. I don't think that's necessary. But I think that, you know, we have a lot of loopholes. There's a lot of different things. I mean, there's a lot of different issues and problems, man. My thing is just addressing the sending our loves and prayers for the families that were involved, the children that might have been affected by this, people that were visibly shaken their lives. And I've seen it in their faces when it was there. And to me, in the moment, I'm trying to process everything. You know, me being 6'6", I could see over the crowd. I could kind of see things where things was running, where it was coming and whatnot. And I try to do my best as far as like what I could do to help out as much as possible, like any of us could do, hopefully. And so, you know, in those moments, you know, the human element of us, we need to be better. It is, like you said, Kansas City strong, right? You know, my brother Barbershop, Sean Barber, was talking about, let it start with us. And, you know, these things mean supporting one another, loving each other the way that we're supposed to love each other, right? So there's a lot that's there. But I just know in the moment when things are happening, I mean, it was bedlam, you know? It was chaotic. But the thing is, what I loved about it is a response of people, okay, supportive of Kansas City, the response of the players, the organization, people that were there, people that I saw still wasn't deterred from what had happened to stop supporting KC or, you know, having a negative attitude, because you can't do that. You can't be crippled by fear and crippled by what, you know, others are doing. These things happen all the time. I mean, and it's a sad thing that these things do happen, yeah. You know, because these things should never be normalized. Should never be the norm. But if you got safeguards and stuff that you want to do, that's probably what they had to find on how they had to do it. I don't know how else you prevent something like that. And I'm telling you, like, the presence of the peace officers that was there, I thought was significant. Everybody was pretty good actors, man, all during the day. I mean, I can see Tussle's look in the crowd. It was happening. It was a lady I did a selfie for to sign an autograph. 10 seconds later, this lady came over ahead and hit a damn. I'm like, man, whoa.
And wow.
Wow. You know, and I said this. It's almost like a powder keg. People could be there from 6 o'clock, or maybe some was there earlier than that, to 2:30, 3 o'clock, that you're waiting. Can't really move through the crowd. Like that, it is what it is. I think people realize, like, this is what they had to go into. You know, I didn't even think about it. Somebody's like, oh, they wearing the pins? I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe that is something that people do. I never thought about that. You know, because I wanted, like, what happened? If you think about it, use the restroom, they all the way up at the front, they just, you know, walk through the crowd, just having to get there.
Hmm.
And somebody said the pins. I'm like, is that a thing? Do people really use the pins? And maybe. I don't know. Have you heard of anything like that?
No. No, never.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But like I said, man, it's tragedy struck. Our hearts and our prayers definitely goes out to the families. One of my friends, she said she knew one young lady, that the DJ that lost her life. Wow. You know, so unfortunate, man. You know, I don't know what else you say, but that's why I said, like, sometimes sending pictures on the good things that happened. You have a whole course of the day when everything was hunky-dory. Everything was good. Beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful people, everybody having a great time. And that moment, how everything just shifted and changed. Man, it was surreal. Surreal. I've never been experiencing anything like that before. But like in that time, you got to try to keep your head. You got to try to take stock of everything that's going on around you. I think that's what I was trying to do, Marcus. So, but yeah, I just, you know, pray for everybody that's involved, the entire city of Kansas City.
Yeah. You know, so. Yeah. Yeah, like we said last week, our hearts go out to everybody who was directly impacted by that, or, you know, and that's the thing. It's not, you don't even have to be directly impacted by that. If you were at that parade or you had some family who was there, that's traumatic stuff. So anybody, you know, that was impacted by this, by the tragedy that happened at the parade. And I'm happy that you came out unscathed. I was worried to death about you. I immediately I texted you. I didn't get a response back in 2 minutes. I was like, chaotic over there. So I texted Susan, and then she told me that you were fine. She just talked to you and stuff, but, you know, it was a chaotic scene there. She could barely hear you because I guess the connection was bad for whatever reason. Obviously, a million people in one city, connection is probably gonna be rough.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was wild, all of it.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna leave it alone. But yeah, I was fine. To me, I didn't realize this thing was being shown to, like, the rest of, you know, everybody, United States. Like, people were watching. It didn't register me at that moment, you know, until people started calling and texting, like, hey, you okay? Like, I'm like, yeah. Like, how y'all getting reports of this night now, like, in real time? And I just, you know, I guess when you're in it, you're not even thinking, you know, other people are watching, like, it's on TV, you know, because you're there. Like I said, this real part, right?
So yeah, on, like, local channels in Kansas City, and then NFL Network. That's how I was watching NFL Network, and that's how I knew what was going on. And then, yeah. And I turned at 3 o'clock. I turned to First Things First with Nick Wright, and I guess they filmed it about 20 minutes before. They filmed it a little bit before everything happened, but then at a certain point they cut it off, and it went to FS1, Fox Sports 1, went to the Fox News coverage, and I was like, wait, what happened? And then I go to Twitter, and I see all the stuff that was going on. So, because they had to evacuate those guys, the Chris Broussard and Kevin Wiles and Nick Wright, out of there because of, you know, the shooting and stuff.
This guy?
Yeah, that guy. we love him. That's
yeah, man. Nick was cool. Matty, I was, you know, he was cool. Yeah.
We gotta get him on Chief Concerns at some point.
Get him on, man. I was talking about Chief Concerns. So
you talked about getting him on?
No, I didn't talk about getting him on, man. We just had a conversation, you know, the pitches and whatnot. You know, so
that's awesome. Yeah.
Got to call those people up and say, man, hey, Nick, we gotta get you on this on our show.
I will make it happen. Yeah. But yes, you know, first time having you on the show, I know for some people, I don't want to reopen up wounds and stuff, and it's still obviously too soon, but it's still, you know, it just happened, but you know, we wanted to get you on and talk about it a little bit. Yeah. Cause we hadn't seen you, and a lot of our viewers were concerned about your well-being, JD. So.
Yeah, no, I'm good, man. Thank God. You know, God's been blessing me immensely, man. And thank God I was able to help people in the support part of it, you know, to like I said, to console them, calm them down, whatever I could do to help them out. And then a couple of girls was crying. It was like, oh my gosh, can we stay by you? Absolutely. Like, y'all fine right here beside me. Y'all gonna be all right. You know, but it was kind of like just talking to people, letting them know everything's gonna be okay. You know, and you know, like I said, the response of the police officers going through, man, incredible.
Yeah, that's one thing I did hear, that the everybody was praising the law enforcement throughout the entire thing, their handling of everything. So yeah, and that's, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's a million people, it's a tough thing. It's one of those, what do they call them, as far as like areas they're kind of tough to cover 100%. You know, it's like it's hard. You know, it's like, it's a million people in one city. I mean, yeah, the fact that this is the only thing that happened, I mean, that's, you know, that tells you a lot about the law enforcement, and it's only so much they can do, right? But, you know,
but when I'm talking about swift response and quick, man, the way they move, you know, just being on it was like, that's quick and in a hurry. Yeah. And yeah, you're right, man. It's insurmountable when you start looking at the people. You're looking around like, oh my goodness. Because the things happen, like how do you get to people in time and whatnot, was probably the you know, it was going to be the issue and the problem that I'm sure they foreseen.
Yeah.
But yeah, did a good job, man. Appreciate all the people's prayers and thoughts, and you know, when and where you, how your boy was doing. So
of course, that's where our head goes there, JD. So obviously, we're going to transition out of this to some football talk, some off-season talk here. But again, our wishes are with everybody impacted by the tragedy last week.
And show love. Show pictures. And that's how you do. You shower these things with love and positivity and all. That's what you do. You know, and don't let these things, these negative, tragic things win. They can't. Okay? It can't be like the lasting impact for this celebration. Because it wasn't just that. It was a lot of love. It was a lot of people and adulation and just understanding what this event was all about. Yeah. And I think that's what we need to show that, and show that Kansas City strong. Absolutely. That's the motto, and we need to exhibit that.
So. Exactly. KC strong, baby. So obviously, with our normal Monday shows, we talked about it last week in the opener. I kind of mentioned morning. Our Monday morning show is usually a grade show, but since there's nothing to grade, JD and I are going to be talking about position groups as we head into the off season. Obviously, free agency is coming up, so we have a lot of, you know, a lot of vacancies, I would say, and then also some salary cap gymnastics. JD, I'm going to have JD put his GM hat on today, and we're going to look at this. We're going to put his GM Chief Concerns hat on today. We're gonna look at some stuff in the receiver room. Obviously, it's been the biggest hot topic for the whole year, is our receiver room. Even, you know, even in the playoffs, receivers, it was a big thing everyone was talking about. And we're gonna kind of take a deep dive into our free agents and into what we can do to shed some money for this upcoming free agency with a lot of guys who are free agents on our team. You know, talk about the Legarius Sneed of the world, the Drew Tranquils, the Chris Joneses of the world. We have a lot of guys you want to keep in house, and yeah, we could we can we'll get into it. We can potentially shed some money in the receiver room to create some more cap space to get our guys we want to keep, and then also maybe bring in somebody else. But we'll talk about that here. JD's gonna put his GM hat on. We love that. All right, so we're gonna begin. So our free agents. So looking at this, we only have two free agents that are wide receivers, and that's Mecole Hardman. What's his nickname now, Mr. Walkoff, or he was at the celebrity basketball game on Friday, and his back of his jersey. I think it said Mr. Walkoff. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Walkoff home run. I got you.
Yep. And then Richie James, who JD and I thought was going to have a bigger role in offense this year, didn't really have much of a role in offense, but the few times he did get some playing time, he actually looked pretty good as far as, you know, in getting some receiver reps. His punt return was solid. I thought he did a phenomenal job as our punt returner. We got some consistent stuff out of him. Scared us in the playoffs with that one muff in the Super Bowl, but we got it back. So we're good with that. So those are the only two free agents we have offensively here. JD, looking at these two guys, I know Hardman, you know, last year he was free agent. We let him go. The Jets pick him up. He comes back to us in the midseason this year. Had a great Super Bowl that he finally tracked a deep ball, had the game winner. What do you think about bringing either one of these guys back? I know we'll get to the totality of the wide receiver room in a second here, but as far as these guys being the only free agents in our wide receiver room, what do you think about these two guys?
I was a big supporter of bringing Mecole Hardman back, and the reason that was is because Mecole Hardman is somebody that we knew, and I said this. I said that he would have been our number one, number two receiver if he hadn't gotten hurt the year before last. And that was true. His contribution in Kansas City has been one that for some is a little questionable. For me, I've loved everything that Mecole Hardman has brought to the team. I think he fits well with what Andy wants to do. How he has been able to utilize Mecole Hardman for his benefit to the team. We understand his value. I see his value of being here. I think he's one of those guys that is, when we talk about the oldest guys in the room, in the group, we know him. And Mecole is, he's every bit of that. He's every bit of like that staple, if you will, with we seeing like a Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, CH, we talk about guys that who've been here over this time who have won, you know, Super Bowls, right? In three Super Bowls. And Mecole is one of those guys. So how many guys do we have on the team that's won three Super Bowls? That's the question.
CH came after the first one. So CH has two.
Yeah.
Harmon three, Mahomes, Kelce. Allegretti's been with all of them. Jones, obviously. Yeah, there's not many who have been on the team for all three of them.
Right, not many. So Mecole Hardman is just one of those guys that have made his name now synonymous with Super Bowls, being with the Chiefs. Okay. And he's been a big part of what we've been able to do to achieve. And people can say in a limited role, whatever that may be. However that works out and how people look at it. But I think Mecole Hardman is definitely a talent. He's a weapon. Patrick likes him. The coaches like him. He's a chief. So I think Mecole wanted to go out and see what he was going to be able to get. Found out that the grass wasn't greener on the other side, right? Who's going to love you like your family? The people that brought you in and that's the Chiefs. Chiefs family. Obviously, like I said, it could be somewhat of a tumultuous time with others, how they feel about Mecole. I like Mecole. I think he's a good fit for what we do offensively. So I'll say that about him. All right. Now, Richie James, same thing. I thought he was going to have a bigger part in what we did this season. I didn't quite work out that way. But you could tell, man, he's a solid receiver. He's a solid guy. I think he has a disposition about him that he'll come to work. He'll put in a hard effort. He'll do everything he need to do. And when you need to call on him on particular things, he'll answer the bell. He was one of those guys on special teams where we couldn't find an answer. He gave us one, especially in the return game. So he brought our return game up tremendously for what it was before. You know, let's be honest. Okay. So his contribution there was something that was needed. And he provided that for us. So I like Richie James. I like him. I like him a lot. I like him because he has some of that toughness to him, you know, some of that grit and that grind. He didn't really catch a whole lot of balls this year. We understand that, right? But, you know, sometimes when you're looking at the stat sheet, numbers don't always tell you the person's contribution. They don't tell you the whole story. It doesn't. If you look at some of his numbers, it's meager, you know, numbers. And so nothing's going to wow you at all. But what he was able to do in the return game, and when he came in and flipped her in, running some routes, he got held a couple of times, throwing some balls to him. I think he's a good receiver. I think he's a really decent receiver, man. Doesn't seem like he has any, like, anything trouble about him. He ended up getting hurt, and that's what kind of took him out. But, man, I looked at him as being somebody that could always help us. That's how I always look at him, as Richie James. So I like both these guys, right? And obviously, you know, let's talk business here. Free agents, I don't think many teams are going to look for these guys to break the bank, to go somewhere. You know, teams will probably get them on, you know, vet minimum or whatever they could try to get them for. The thing is, if you have a home, and they love you there at the home, why leave? I do know that we have to address the wide receiver situation this offseason. What that's going to look like is still, you know, it remains to be seen. But I do say, in my opinion, you probably draft the receiver and you probably get one in free agent. That's probably what you have to do, okay? Okay, we're just talking about the long-term ramifications of what you're doing. That would be my assessment on what you do, and then everybody else around you filter in, right, and pieces. Can McCole Harmon come and help out this team next year to three-peat? Absolutely. He could do that. Without a doubt, he could definitely do that. You know, can Richie James? I don't know. When you start talking about bubbles and, you know, spaces for certain guys, you know, you just got to you gotta take a full assessment of everything that's going on. But – Would I prefer, if I'm saying these two right there, right, Marcus, I'm going to say yes. Preference between these two, if we had to be between these two guys, I would prefer McCole Harmon over Richie James. If it's going to be something of numbers, right, what we're looking at. But I like both these guys, man. I think both these guys are good team players. The team likes them. So I don't have nothing bad to say about either one of them. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, and they're both assets in their own way. Like, yeah, the numbers didn't really tell us full story with Richie James, but our special teams, you know, when he was hurt, not that Montrell Washington wasn't solid. I mean, he was good for what it was. I mean, it was spot pickup when Richie James was out. He was a solid punt returner, Richie James was for us. And yeah, and at the beginning of the season, you watched some of our shows, we were kind of like, well, you're pretty pissed off about the way that our punt return team looked. And he came back and he made our punt return team decent. And McCole Harmon, obviously, you know, he had the fumble in the Bills game. Really wasn't utilized that much. You know, comes in, dominates in this in the Super Bowl here, tracking that deep pass, and then obviously the game winning touchdown. Looking at the numbers, I mean, Harmon. Remember, we didn't. Apparently, there was the rumors that we never even actually threw him an offer. And he ended up signing the offer with the Jets with a 1 year, $4 million. So he thought he was going to get a bigger market. And I thought going into this past offseason, he was going to get a pretty decent deal. And then he got the 1 year, $4 million deal, which I thought was surprising because I thought he was going to be more sought after than he was. I mean, coming off a year that he had this year, it's not that. I mean, and they practically traded him to us for like a bag of chips, and they paid most of his salary. I think we had 1 year, based on the numbers here, we had him for 1 year, $720,000. So the New York pretty much paid that entire contract. We just had him for 1 year, it was $720,000.
Well, okay, reality sets in for guys, okay, in the NFL. All right, your agents could fluff you to say you're this and you're gonna get this on the market, whatever it may be. Teams may not just be interested. There's several wide receivers that's out there on the street or people that can try to get in. And so the question is, why should they take a chance on you, right? You may feel like, you know, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Teams may not believe that. They might not buy into that, though, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. And so, you know, I think he thought he was going to get more than he did. And rightfully so. He's supposed to think he's going to get more. You know, his agent's supposed to say, hey, why don't you go out here and find out to get more. And he went and found out that the demand for his skill set wasn't as high as he thought it was going to be. Not to mention, he had just gotten hurt. So we're talking about negotiations and business deals. This is how teams do. This happens in the NFL. I know this better than anybody. Okay, yeah, how these things, you know. So but that's just reality. And so there's tons of wide receivers each and every year of players trying to get into the NFL, trying to break down that door. And if people can do it for less money, the same things you can do, teams are trying to find that. So,
yeah.
They only get $5 for top production. That's how it works.
Yeah. No, I did want to. So I said that we paid him about $720. That was his base salary. He had a roster bonus of $150. And then miscellaneous, he got paid $500,000 for that. So overall, his cap hit was about $1.3 million. I believe he signed in New York for about one year, $4 million deal. So they paid a good chunk of that, probably a signing bonus or whatever. And then we end up paying him $1.3 million. So Veach struck gold with a little bargain there with the trading. I don't even know where it was, a sixth round pick. And then Richie James, his was 1 year, $1.2 million. So both guys, if we were to bring them back, I don't know if they're going to cost us a lot of money. Harmon may, just because of the touchdown he had in the Super Bowl, but I honestly don't see it. He came off a really good year last year and only could get a 1 year, $4 million deal. This year was significantly worse than his last year going into the season. Yeah, I know he scored the walk-off touchdown, but I mean, if you're talking about the body of work that he did, I don't know if it's going to get him more than a 1 year, $4 million deal. So if he wants to make concessions and stick around in Kansas City, I mean, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, and the club could look at it like, hey, man, appreciate it, but, you know, no thanks. You know, they might let him walk, you know, because they're just looking for more production. And the thing is, his contribution lies in what he knows offensively about this, right? He knows all the verbiage, all the signals. He knows everything what Pat wants. So you don't have to go through the whole, like, learning curve to try to get into – you know, Mecole Hardman understands that. And so, yeah, when you look at, you know, what he was able to do after on the field, it's like, hey, you know, is that enough? You know, that's a question only the Chiefs can answer, you know?
And I remember that was the reason why we were talking trade deadline stuff. It wasn't so much that, like, oh, man, Hardman's going to open up this offense. It was, okay, we need a little veteran presence in the wide receiver room, and we need someone who can know the offense now and not have to – you know how it is. I mean, to get people up to speed, because everyone talks about the Andy Reid offense. We brought in a guy who already knew the offense for the most part to come in and, you know, plug and play right away. Whereas, you know, we didn't want to trade for some other guy who doesn't know the offense so much. So I think it was more about the veteran experience within the offense more so than how we feel about Hardman's play. I mean, that's why we didn't really even throw him an offer. So, like, there has to be some of that as well. I mean, it was more convenience for us at the time than this year, right?
Well, I mean, for me, I thought it was a little bit more he's going to bring some juice here. I thought he was going to bring production, you know, because he's done it before. And then, like I said before, he could have been the one or two receiver until he gotten hurt. So I see his potential on what he could have brought to the table. And so when we're talking about a guy that can take the top off the defense, who can get behind corners, who run good routes, who's fast, jet sweeps, all that, his specialty. I'm like, he provides it better than anybody else that we can go get. And on top of it, he already knows this offense. So he had, to me, he had all the benefits that we needed. I said, we needed a spark. We needed a guy. And to me, Mecole Hardman was that guy that I was, you know, at least trying to get over here to this organization to help out. So,
you were very excited about that addition.
I was.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the free agents here. So, I mean, I think if I were to put my money on it, I would see us bringing back Hardman at the right price. And I don't think he's going to break the bank. I know someone in the comments say he had a good game in the Super Bowl. I just don't see it. I mean, the teams could have had him for nothing at the trade deadline, and we got him a week before the trade deadline for like was it like a 6th round conditional pick? I don't know if you guys in the chat want to say what the if you guys can look it up and see what the what we gave out for him. But I mean, it wasn't a lot. So anyone could have had him for that price. Okay, so those are free agents. We're going to go to the guys who are on the team right now. So these are the guys we looked at on the as far as the active roster as of right now, heading into 2024. So take out Richie James and take out Hardman. Those guys are off the team now. This is who we have, and these are the guys cap hits going into this coming year. So we got MVS, $13.9 million cap hit. KT, a $2.5 million cap hit. Justin Watson, $2.1 million cap hit. Sky Moore, $1.7 million cap hit. Rashee Rice, $1.4 million cap hit. That's a bargain right there, JD. Rashee Rice, $1.4 million cap hit. this is a guy, so Anthony Miller, who we signed midseason, $985,000 cap hit. Shai Smith, who I have no idea who that is, but $985,000 cap hit. Our guy Justin Ross, the aforementioned, the legend Justin Ross, $915,000 cap hit. Nico Remigio, who a lot of people loved during training camp last year, who he should be back from his shoulder injury. He looks like he could be a guy that we could plug and play next year. And then Jacob Copeland is the last guy on our roster that has a cap hit, $795,000. We also had Montrell Washington, but does not have a cap hit, JD. So I don't really know that with that. He's still on our roster, but there is no cap hit. So I'm guessing that means they could cut him and there'd be no no dead cap or anything to give back. Right? Is that how it works?
Yeah. No, yeah. There's nothing against the books on him. So I don't know as far as how they work that out, but no. He's not on the active roster. So it's not costing him anything.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Because there's a few guys here. I mean, Shai Smith. I didn't even know who that was. I mean, he's on a roster. Never even heard of him. So I mean, it's interesting to see to check the books sometimes and see who's on it. Know where they're spending their money. But JD, when you see the receivers are on the roster right now and you see their cap hits, what stands out to you from this list right here? We're going to dissect two specific guys in a second here. Guys that are on.
All right, you're something else, man. You're on something else. Go ahead, brother.
The two guys we're about to dissect, they're not the guys that I've talked about. Well, I have talked about them, but everyone in Chiefs Kingdom was talking about these two guys specifically. One more for a cap casualty reason, and one for we'll get into that reason as to why. But when you see this right here, JD, what kind of stands out to you here? I mean, obviously for me, when I look at this, I look at this list, and I'm like, okay, still same problem as last year, not really having another guy to kind of, to lighten the load for Travis Kelce to, have another partner in crime for Rashee Rice in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, I think just getting into it, man. Okay, we're looking at production on guys and, how much guys are getting paid, right? Strictly business on these things.
Yeah.
Obviously, what stands out is the $13.9 million MBS is making. The KT making $2.5 million. And we'll deal with the people at the top, all right, that's counting the most against your cap. Justin Watson, $2.1 million. I say KT, $2.5. Sky and Rice are going to be there because they're draft picks, so you don't have to really worry about them as much. Justin Ross is 915 against you. He's trying to figure it out. I don't know as far as, how they feel about him on the project. Anthony Miller, I don't know as far as our guys are going to go. No, all these other guys, these are guys that every year walk in and walk out. Let's be honest. That's how it works. So if the Chiefs may move on from MBS, they may move on from him. The 13.9 just doesn't make any sense for his production. And so they may feel to go a different route and use that money to try to get somebody else a free agent here. Okay. So dead cap hit is just $2 million, right? So Chiefs will eat that.
Saves us about 11 and a half mil by doing that.
Right. So the business side of it, that's going to be their move to get rid of MVS or to have him move on. I don't like get rid of it.
Yeah.
But maybe work out a deal to say, hey, you know what? For production, we want to go a different route. May say thing with Kadarius Toney too. Just with the uncertainty, the issues that's been having, the $2.5 million cap. I mean,
we'd be eating that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the Chiefs kind of sometimes you take chances on guys. That's what you do, and they took a chance on him. So. Where they say, hey, look, you know, with that 2.5, we'll eat and we'll move on from it. We'll move on. We can't wait to see what's going on and what we need to do for the next few years. I think they want to try to find a more consistent player to be on a roster without any type of controversy being surrounded by him. And I don't even know the truth of what all these things happened at the very end about his hip being hurt. Don't know. I don't know any of that, right? I think nobody really knows. Speculation. He's saying one thing, said something else. All we know is production on the field left a lot to be desired. Okay. And he's been hurt, which is just unfortunate because a guy who can't really show you what he can do because he's always hurt. He's always being injured. And so that's doesn't bode well for you. You can't argue a good case for yourself about them paying you if you're always hurt. So that's what I look at.
Yeah, with KT, like I put when I was making the graphic, I put potential cap casualty. It's not really a cap casualty because it's not his contract's not a lot of money, and we'd be saving a lot. We would be eating $2.5 million by getting rid of him. Best case would be for us to try and trade him to get rid of the $2.5 million, and maybe try to get something back. But the problem with that is finding a suitor for him. When the Giants got rid of him, there was not a lot of people calling and for Toney at that time. We got that deal because you know there was reports that. He was faking hamstring injury, whatever, you know, whatever the team's saying or what he's saying, whatever it is, it's just, there's a lot surrounding that's clouded by stuff, right? We were, you know what, we'll take a chance on it, brought him in, got a Super Bowl out of it, had a huge punt return in that Eagles game. We'll never forget that. But obviously the way the season ended, everything unfolded, the drops from in week one, and then it kind of continued. And then the whole injury thing at the end where, you know, he has an Instagram video live where he, you know, says some stuff about the team. Whatnot. I mean, I don't even know. It's just a lot of stuff going on that's like not needed for, you know, and this is the thing. It's like someone was trying to compare him to being like, I think I saw someone calling him like a Terrell Owens type. And it was like, there's a difference, JD. Well, one's a Hall of Famer, but like, there's a difference there. And I'd be curious to hear what you say about this. Yeah, what people were trying to compare him to Terrell Owens being a distraction. Terrell Owens was there was times where he was a distraction in his locker room. But what was that distraction doing on the field, though? His production was saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, there's a bit of distraction, but that production, that's okay. Okay, we'll deal with that. When there's stuff going on with KT, there's a little bit of distractions here and there, just things, murmurs and stuff going on, whether it's true or not, what he's saying on Instagram, whatever. That's just too much for a guy who's really not giving us a lot of production on the field. And it becomes a headache, and it's like, and he reads answering questions about his Instagram live video during Super Bowl media week. Not what he wants to be talking about.
No. And the Chiefs, they don't want that distraction. They don't want anything to derail them from what they're trying to do, win the Super Bowl. And so I think for any team, I don't care if it's not just the Chiefs, for any team out there, they hate that. They hate controversy, things they don't necessarily control. So they're – without a doubt, antithesis to those things, they like do not like that at all. If you feel like you're going to be a problem or a headache or is even any type of question about it, then they move on. They move on from guys. You can't, yeah. KT and T.O., no comparison whatsoever. Zero.
If KT and T.O., we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Oh, yeah. It is about production. If you produce, teams will put up with more things than they need to, right? They can make concessions for guys like, all right, well, it wasn't that bad. You know, he just cussed you and a couple other people out, but he's okay, right? He didn't cuss out of everybody. Just, you know, about two or three of y'all. Yeah, that was it. Okay, fine. We live with that. Y'all okay. You know, y'all feelings are, you know, y'all ain't hurt. But if things are going on and it doesn't look good, you don't quite know where they're coming from, they not about it. Teams are not about those things. So I don't know if you can, like you said, find suitors to do whatever. And I don't know what the Chiefs gonna find, right? And teams might say, hey, no thank you. No thank you. Appreciate it, but no thank you.
Well, and teams are also thinking too. Well, you're the defending champs, the back-to-back champs. You're trying to get off this guy. We saw your receivers this year. Yeah, I think we're good. I think we'll stay away. I mean, hey, if I'm Veach, I'll take anything. Give me a 2026 conditional seventh round pick, JD. I'll see if I can strike gold with a Pacheco type pick with that in a couple of years.
Yeah.
We also talk about MVS here. Obviously, so the cap hit 13.9 million, dead cap too. So we'll get about 11.5 mil back in doing so. Obviously, everyone talks about the drops and his production and not really meeting the price tag, right? But like you talked about, there's other things that he did this year that's really that allowed us to become this other team. Second half of the season, we flipped the switch, became more of a kind of a ground and pound, kind of a rugged kind of team, and him on the outside allowed us to do that. His blocking on the outside allowed us to kind of turn into that. He turned his drops around once he got confidence in the playoffs. My thing is, I know everyone's like, hey, just drop him, seeing it in the comments here, everyone, you know, it'll have $11 million to retain it, and I'm all for it. However, he has stepped up when we need him the most in the postseason, and obviously, if he says no to this, I would say maybe a restructure, so we aren't having to find another new receiver. Is there a way we can restructure and get him for, say, hey, like, come down from this and we'll do a one-year $5 million deal for the season or something like that? I mean, it still saves us money in the end. And, you know, we could have him and let him finish off this three-peat with us and potentially try to ride that out. But if not, if he says no, then obviously, okay, then let's, you know, cut our losses and, you know, save the $11 million.
Yeah, I mean, it has to work. It has to work. I mean, we're talking about a significant drop as far as, like, what they're going to offer. I mean, that's the reality. And if he doesn't have it, then, you know, then we'll see you later. You know, you could find somewhere else to go and try to get, like you said, get suitors or whatever you may do. I don't know. If you want to take such a pay cut to stay on a championship team, is what you really have to. That's what you have to deal with. MVS is going to deal with that this offseason, if that's what he wants to do. He's maybe just want to move on, you know, from away from me. Period. I don't know. So. And a lot of that's going to go into work ethic, how everything transpired this entire year. If guys felt like they were dedicated or what they were trying to do is something that they're going to take an account for. So these things get passed on from team to team. And let me explain that to people as well. And so they're shopping these guys out. They're talking to other people. They're trying to fill these things out all the time. This is what happens. So they've been having some conversations and communications with other teams right now as far as like what's going to be able to do. But, you know, for MVS making that amount of money, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So.
And obviously, you know this better than me or anybody in the chat here. Next week, Combine Week. A lot of the conversations you're talking about, they'll grow even more next week when all the teams are under one building with each other, talking about guys, potential trades, talking about talking with team players as agents as well, right? I mean, all that stuff's going to kind of ramp up next week at the Combine.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's when, you know, all the teams, everybody gets together. That's when the first starts really happening, you know, and talking with the owners and whatnot. This when everything starts getting into it a little bit more. So, look, and at the combine, you can see, hey, look, we give you this guy, draft pick, we can trade this guy. You start seeing a little bit more. Things start getting a little bit more clear. At least the conversation starts happening even more. So there's going to be a lot of willing and dealing, man, during the time for the combine. It's going to be a lot of willing and dealing. You're seeing it.
And let me ask you, this is JD, GM hat, JD. If I'm Brett Veach, I came to you, hey, how about you throw me a fourth round pick for MVS? Or you say yes to that for that $13 million price tag? I mean, and that's something too. I don't know if you see it sometimes where teams will say, hey, like, we'll trade you MVS, but we'll pay a certain amount of this contract. You pay the rest of it. And even so, let's say we do that. I know it's not. You could save $11 million. I think before even doing that, I think they would drop them before trading them, even if it is for a fifth round pick, because you're going to save more in the long run.
You're going to save more in the long run. Yeah. So I don't think it's, you know, money. Teams are like, yeah, absolutely not. They ain't trying to pay that because they don't need to. So. I don't know. I just, my GM hat is the conversation. Hey, you're going to take a pay cut. This is where we at in your production. If not, then guess what? This is the course of action. What we're going into. Yeah. So I don't know what that number looks like. But it's definitely ain't going to be no 13.9.
Mm-mm.
So
yeah. And looking at the list here, I know we've some people in the chat said just focus on Rice and Watson. I mean, even we still, obviously, let's say KT and MVS are gone. You got Rice and Watson. You got Sky, who's coming back, and I don't know what's gonna happen with that. You know, he was active for the Super Bowl. It didn't get one. I don't think he got one rep on offense. So I don't know what's gonna happen with that whole thing. Obviously, he'll still be on the team. But I don't know if he's gonna be a difference maker offensively next year for us. And Watson, I don't think he's going to be a difference maker. I think he's a great veteran piece to have on the squad, but I still think there is going to be either a high draft pick receiver or a veteran who comes in. Maybe a high-ticketed guy. I know a lot of people are throwing around T. Higgins, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman, and Hollywood Brown as the options. But, like, I think whether it's a top two-round receiver or one of those guys I just mentioned or one of the, an echelon of that kind of guy, a veteran piece – that's going to happen. And yeah, Watson will still do what Watson did this year, but I think having another guy in the room to replace the MVS aspect.
Let me just be honest. There's only one guy on here, well, two, that is almost guaranteed to be here. That's Rashee Rice. And then Sky Moore don't cost you anything. I mean, it ain't no guarantee that Justin Watson's going to be here. 2.1, sure, they might just want to try to revamp the entire wide receiver group.
You're right. His cap hits 2.1 is dead cap's $150,000. They'd say $2 million by cutting him. So
yeah. So look, we can say that, but I'm telling you how the NFL, the business works. Nobody is safe. No one is safe. Only ones that are safe is Rashee Rice, guys that we drafted. We understand that. Those are the guys they're gonna stick with. Sky Moore is gonna get another chance, another shot. Do what he's going to be able to do, okay? But Rashee Rice, his name, he's here. Everybody else, this is how the business is. Ladies and gents, welcome to the NFL. It's bottom line. And so this, when we're talking about being up at the combine, this will be the conversation. I've been at the restaurants with the coaches, and I've been there. I've combined several years. And these are the conversations you're going to have. This is real talk comes out about who guys are and who guys are not, okay? And if you feel like you can win with a guy and you can't win with him, and, you know, this guy, well, what are you getting out of him, or what is he giving you? So all of that comes up. All these things are going to come up. But I'm telling you, man, hey, there are no guarantees. The only guarantee you see out there right now is Rashee Rice and Sky Moore because he's your draft pick. Other than that, hey, man, it might look like a whole different thing, especially if you're trying to free agency get a couple of guys. Let's say, hey, doesn't cost a lot of money for McCole Hardman to be here, right? Doesn't cost him a whole lot. keep him here because of all the things he's done, what he shows the team. You're going to legitimately get three or four more guys in, new guys. Seriously. Like, we just go, this whole thing we mixing up, do all over again. Okay. So I don't know. I like Justin Watson. I'm not saying that. I do like Justin Watson. But the Chiefs may not like him or feel like, okay, well, look, we don't need to give him $2 million a year for his production, you know? So these things will be, look, when we go into negotiation, they're going to talk about drops. They're going to talk about all these different things. I mean, all this comes up. All this comes up. So
there's one guy you didn't mention here, JD, and don't laugh at me, but you didn't mention, you said there's only one guy who's got a guaranteed spot next year is Rashee Rice. You didn't mention my my guy, Justin Ross.
Oh.
There's no guarantee there?
No. Ain't no guarantee. I'm telling you, ain't no guarantee. Hey, look, potential will only get you so far. They ain't going to get you, you know, we just, look, sometimes guys just want opportunities, get their feet in the door. And the reality is these guys have had opportunities, foot in the doors, and if they haven't been working and been cutting it, guess what? A door swings both ways. As soon as you walk in, you walk out. If you could put your foot in that door and get it in, that's what you're trying to do. Just opportunity. So that's the way I look at it. Ken Horbuckle said, I keep Rice, McCoy, and Watson. That's it. Huh? I hear you. So
I guess it depends. I mean, because what you're talking about, our GM, our guys are going to be talking to the other team's agents and stuff. They're going to feel the market for a lot of these other guys. And if they feel they can get a guy who can contribute more than what Watson's given us at $2 million, they're going to do that. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, Watson produced well in this offense that we had this year, guys. But if we can get a little more juice and talent in the room, you put somebody else in that spot that Watson was in, they could excel even more so than what Watson did. I mean, for a lot of people, that Watson has been kind of a surprise, right? I mean, like, he's been great, but I just think with the offense that we have this year, like, they plugged in. I think anybody, it was a very limited receiver room this year, and I think that's why Watson shines so much in this limited wide receiver room outside of, you know, Rashee Rice.
Yeah. And he had to step up. He had to step up. I'm just looking at some of the comments over here. I'm just saying, like, the only one, like, seriously, guaranteed, only one, Rashee Rice. And then Sky Moore, because he's a draft pick. Everybody else, hey, it can happen. I've seen this before. Seen it several times.
Yeah, if they were to cut Sky Moore, his cap hit's 1.7, but his dead cap is 900. So you're only saving about $800,000.
Man, I'm like with Lenny. Lenny says too early to move away from Moore yet. I believe that. I think it's too early to move away from Sky Moore. I think Sky Moore is a guy that takes time to develop. Next year may be his year. With a draft pick like him, I think next year could be his year. So that's can he give you the production that that Watson gave you? Okay, that's the question. Look, we know all these guys got potential. The guys that we know Justin Ross has potential. We've seen him catch different balls and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, but we said controversy and things like teams, they got time to babysit guys. I'm sorry. They got time to babysit guys. This is the NFL. Not for long. That's the moniker. That's exactly what they mean. So, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. So,
yeah, and I do think they were really high on Remigio, and this is a guy, I mean, we talk about this all the time, especially towards the end of training camp. We're talking about cut down days, how many guys in the keep, which guys can do a lot of other things. Remigio is one of the best punt returners coming out of college. We were able to get him. He looked great, and I think he was actually rotating with the first team reps for punt return for a little bit, and he had a shoulder injury. That's a guy who can make the team, getting the we're talking about the Richie James saving money here and there. You can get a guy who can do the Richie James stuff. You don't have to re-sign him for 1 year, $1 million. You're getting that production and maybe possibly some slot action, all that for $800,000 right there. I mean, that's kind of where they're looking. JD, a lot of what we've seen, especially with a lot of high-ticketed guys we have, with Jones potentially, Snead potentially, Mahomes, Tooney, if we decide to keep him around. That's a lot of high-priced guys. Veach is going to have to, you know, pick and choose where he spends that money in the spot, especially like lower on the Chiefs' depth chart or in the receiver room, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so, and when you find guys like this, it makes your whole scouting department and yourself look like a genius. You got to get a guy like that, right? Somebody who wasn't supposed to do this, and you find a diamond in the rough. They find something potential in a guy, they'll take a chance. They'll give that. So, you know, Remigio, he had good hands. I think, you know, during the preseason, he showed a lot of, you know, a lot of flashes. He looked hungry, passionate.
He did.
So, Chiefs might be like, okay, well, we got on here who does have that about him, right? So, I don't know, man. It's like I said, only one I know for sure is going to be in that room is Rasheed Rice, and then maybe Sky Moore. Everybody else, they can play with however they want to, okay? And like I said, I like Watson. I think Watson should be in a conversation. Go if he gives you what he wants as far as consistency, as far as being there on the team. And then you got to go get draft the guy, free agent guy, okay? Then maybe get somebody else that's got a little sauce to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't feel – and I don't believe that's an overcorrection. I don't believe that's an overcorrection. Overcorrection would be like trying to get like two free agents out here who's like, you know, trying to, you know, twist all the money around to try to get a guy like that, right? I don't think it takes that for this room. I think it takes one good guy, okay, get a draft pick that is a high-level draft pick that you know has good hands, tracks the ball well, come in to play right now, and then everybody else. I think you're going to be fine. I think you're going to be fine there. So there's a lot of different things you can do. There's a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah, I guess when I've said in the past, the overcorrection aspect, so like the O-line, we talked about that, and that's what I've been saying I think we're going to do this year in the receiver room, is that overcorrection, kind of like we did with the O-line after the Super Bowl against the Bucs. You know, that and not necessarily – we didn't really pay. I mean, yeah, Tooney we paid, but Trey Smith, that was a diamond in the rough we found late in that draft. Yeah, he had the medical red flags. Creed Humphrey, a second round pick. We didn't go out and really spend. Yeah, we draft capital, but we struck gold with Trey Smith. That wasn't supposed to happen the way it did. And it did. So like, yeah, we overhauled and overcorrected it. And I think that there's very well we can maybe pay for a. I'm not saying pay up, but like go get a Hollywood Brown type. I'm not saying him, but I'm just saying a guy like that. I'm not a T. Higgins who's going to be top of the market, but not a guy who's going to be, you know, cheap. He's going to be right in the middle of the road, which I think where Hollywood Brown would be. And then you draft the top two round receiver. Then you go, boom, you have a top two, early round receiver guy. And then you have a veteran who's done it before. And then you put in that room and then you go, you put it with Rasheed Rice and, you know, Sky Moore and I don't know, Remigio and Ross. I mean, that's a pretty solid receiver room.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're not going to go get a $30 million guy, or $25 million. You're just not. Chiefs are not going to do that. They're not paying a guy that much money to come in.
Not if you want to retain some of the guys we have who are free agents, no.
No, well, absolutely not. It's just not going to happen. That's not going to work money-wise, and why should it? There's enough good enough receivers out there that you can get a middle-road guy. Almost what MVS is making. Okay? Let's be honest.
That's what D-Hop wanted.
Yeah.
D-Hop wanted this contract.
Well, but hey, the thing is now, this is, I don't know, man. This is what we're looking at. It's going to be like that. You know, other places on the roster, but without a doubt, like you said, somebody middle of the road, draft pick, pretty high that you know could come in and play right now. But that's not going to be your drop off. Your wide receiver room, like when you get the guys that you get that you know is going to work, he was like, this ain't going to be another issue dropping off. We need guys that are sure handed, that we know is going to catch a lot of footballs and stuff. Sky Moore provides that he can catch the football. He could run routes. He's got a skill set, okay? I don't really worry about his hands. His hands, I don't think, is really a question to me.
It's the confidence aspect of putting it all together.
Yeah, but, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, as far as like personnel and formation, what you're doing with him. Okay. You're asking him to do things that, you know, he probably shouldn't be doing. It's like, okay, look, all right. Like, we got to make sure we put him in the box of certain things he's going to be able to do, right? Knowing his capabilities and then flow with it from there. Okay. So I do believe that Sky Moore is a guy that could easily give us something. Just getting better. And maybe that confidence comes this offseason, Marcus. That maybe it's, you know, what you're talking about. Maybe it takes that, right?
Maybe.
So
the reason why we started off our Monday series with the receivers is because I think, and obviously it's the biggest topic of the season were receivers. But I think more so than that, JD, I think this is going to be a room that when it's all said and done, we're going to training, we're going to the regular season. We'll look back at this episode and I'll put our list of guys that we have on the roster going into the regular season versus this. And there's a big chance, and I don't know if you agree with me, that's going to be completely different.
No, I do. I agree with you. I think it's going to be completely different. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said the only one out here, Rashee Rice, is the only one that looks like is guaranteed he's going to be in the room. That looks like Sky Moore. I mean, Rashee Rice is here. And Sky, because he's a draft pick. So other than that, I think it's going to be look completely different. No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason, to say the least, JD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all right, guys. Well, that does it for us on our first Monday morning tight end of the offseason. I thought it was a good way to start the bang with going with the wide receiver room, because I know everyone, this is the thing everyone's talking about. Even the people who don't even know the Chiefs, they're talking about our receivers, right? That's everyone's talking about. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see who stays, who goes, because I think it's going to be a little bit of what you were kind of hinting at, that there's really no lock besides Rice, and everything else is kind of like in the gray area.
Yeah. I know I'm chuckling because, you know, we have our conversations off camera on things and stuff. We talk, you know, we joke about things and whatnot. But I think, you know, we have a good assessment on you know, we're talking about it here, right? We're not hiding anything. Mm-hmm. We're talking about it here. But it's without a doubt, the wide receivers room is something we had to do something totally different with. And it shouldn't be such a hard thing for Patrick and those guys, or Travis having to have more on his plate, when those guys on the outside can help him out so more tremendously. Okay. Tremendously. And we ain't looking for chopped liver. We're not looking this bottom of the barrel. We're not going to be, so cheap that we're not going to get somebody in here who's capable of catching 80 balls a year. Believe me. So they'll make it out. They'll figure it out.
I think it's going to have to be, and we'll get into it on Wednesday, because there's one specific name I want to bring up on Wednesday or for a Wednesday show. But, like, it's going to – I think it's going to be kind of a combination of, you know, like, towards the end of – not at the end, but, like, kind of the middle of LeBron's Miami Heat days. There was the ring-chasing stuff. You had a lot of veterans – the Mike Millers of the world, the James Joneses of the world, guys who never got a ring but were always, you know, solid guys on their teams. They hopped on in Miami to win rings and stuff, because they pretty much their career, their accolades set. You know, Mike Miller is one of the best three-point shooters of all time. Hops on, Miami gets his ring. And I think we're going to have elements of that where there's certain receivers out there who have body of work, done it. Do they have the rings? No, they don't have the rings. Have they already had their paydays? Yes. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me go finish off my career and get a ring. And there's one name we're going to talk about specifically on Wednesday that you know very well. So we're going to be talking about that on Wednesday. But yeah, JD, it was great having you on. Wait, stop lying, Mark. The Chiefs receiver room. Okay. It's the biggest Chiefs concern. Ooh, there you go. I like that. Look at Lenny. Lenny D always gets me, man.
Stop lying, Mark. Yeah. Biggest Chiefs. It is. Yeah. Definitely one of them for sure. You know, I say the biggest concern for us is, you know, the whole Snead and CJ, you know?
That's just the our offseason won't begin until that's hammered out, in my opinion. That's going to happen first. And I think Tayshia said on our show last week, it was Jones, Snead, and he said his third one was Spags re-upping. That was the third biggest priority, was Spags re-upping. And there you go. That's done. Now you got to move on to those two now.
Well, you don't know what you're going to have until you have it, right? Until you do sign these guys. What are you going to do with them? So you talk to everybody else, and believe me, there's going to be a lot of wide receivers trying to find homes, plenty of them.
Yeah.
The Chiefs winning the Super Bowl helps out tremendously. Everybody wants to come here and play with a winner. So if you want to be here and win, okay, have some thought about you, all right? Put your mind together and say, you know what? If I need to take $2 million less than that to be a Super Bowl winner, a Super Bowl champ, absolutely. So,
yeah.
I think guys will be on board for that. I really do. I really do. And shockingly, it might be some names that you was like, oh, wow, we can get a guy for that? Yes. Yes. So
we should go find our Dante Stallworth. Remember when Stallworth was signing with the Patriots at the end when he already made his money, he already had his accolades. We're going to see elements of that this offseason for the first time that you and I have been kind of begging for, where now it's okay. I think you'll see some guys make concessions to be a part of this dynasty and potentially the first ever three-peat.
Absolutely. Who's this? About Time says, Senior Dunn, I sent a Twitter of an epic receiver for your thought. Best female and best non-human for the spot. Okay. Let me see what it's humor. I always like humor.
We love humor on the show. That's what we're about.
Good people. Hey, good seeing y'all tonight. Okay. It's been a while since your boy's been in here. So, hey, love you all. Thank you all for coming in and come seeing us tonight. All right. We'll come out. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Wednesday night, baby.
Wendy, I will not forget the parade pictures. I will send them out, okay? Like I said, it was such a sensitive time at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely get what you're saying with that. Yeah, because as well as this, you want to, like, be able to celebrate your photos and stuff that happened, but also it's just under the circumstances that happened that day just kind of makes everything kind of, you don't want to flaunt, you know?
Right,
Grant. We'll send them to me. We'll post them on the show on Wednesday. We'll get everyone's eyes and ears to see what you have for us from your trip at the parade last week.
Right. Somebody said take the stick off the bottom of my cup. Why? For what?
They don't like the QR code there. I don't know. Your barcode.
This is my new cup I got out in Kansas City. One of those things, man. Shiny in it.
I like it.
I like it.
It's a good variety to have different water cups for different episodes, for different shows. You have your Monday Morning Tight End Show cup. You got your Chief Concerns cup. You got it all. All right, everybody. So we'll see you guys Wednesday night for our regular Chief Concerns show, 7 p.m. live stream. Everyone be here. And love seeing everybody for our first Monday morning of the off season.
Absolutely. All right.
Take it easy, everybody. Love you, brother.
I love you, too.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.